From sprains to fractures, get expert care quickly at the University of Kansas Health System. Walk-in orthopedic care is open weekdays, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturdays, 8 to 2, at I-435 and Null. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley Davidson North. I-29 in Tiffany Springs or online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com for new and used bikes. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
Kelce sets up in the slot on first down from the 11. Mahomes back to throw. Throws Kelce. Juggling, catching into the end zone for a touchdown. 11 yards, Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelce. Out of the shotgun, Mahomes with the snap. Floats it toward the back of the end zone. It is caught for a touchdown. A ballet move by Travis Kelce in the left corner of the end zone. It's fourth and less than a foot. The Chiefs are 3-for-6 on fourth down this year. Give through the middle, first down and more. Into the end zone for a touchdown. Darrell Williams. And the Kansas City Chiefs now with a 9-point lead late here in the third quarter. Allen back to throw. And he floats it down the middle of the field, and it is picked off. Intercepted, a one-handed interception hauled in by Daniel Sorensen, effectively ending this game with 1:11 left to go.
And now, wondering if the Chiefs' continuing troubles in the passing game means they should go after John Ross, Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Look at where John Ross has taken the Bengals. They did not need Patrick Mahomes. They just needed John Ross. They were ahead of the game. They were giving weapons to the future 1-1 quarterback. That's what it was. Congratulations to the Cincinnati Bengals. Congratulations to Chiefs fans. You witnessed a team go on the road to one of the top contenders in the AFC and beat a team playing their game, not the Chiefs game, playing their game. This is everybody's new strategy. It's what they want to do. They're going to slow it down. They're going to drag you into the mud. They're going to drop everybody deep, take away the long ball, and the Chiefs are going to have to win by going underneath, and they're doing it. Short passing, running the football. When was the last time they had 200-plus yards rushing?
Let me see. And it's been a long time since they've had the most rushing attempts in Andy Reid's tenure here in KC.
I mean, it has to be the most rushing yards under Reid as well, I would think. But you know, listen, sometimes you got to win a rock fight. And you know, I'm curious: is the reaction from people, well, they've got to, you know, get the offense going? Oh, I'm concerned. Listen, it's about wins. And when you have that bullseye on your back, which this team clearly does, you know, you're going to have to play a lot of different ways. And I give the Chiefs a ton of credit for going out and making it happen and getting it done in a style that they don't want to play. But it seems like everybody's going to continue to force them to play. And listen, it's not a bad strategy, right? Like, this is what you have to do. Marty Schottenheimer football works, okay? When you're outgunned, it's how you should play. You can find a way to win it. You get one big defensive play somewhere in there, or you make one big play on offense, and all of a sudden, you're a winner. And the key is going to be for the Chiefs to play mistake-free football, which they basically did, and they're going to be able to win this kind of game, any kind of game that people want to play. Listen, I thought it was would you call it a thing of beauty? I mean, I guess not, right? Like, we've seen beautiful football be played by this team, but I don't see anything to worry about. And I think for a team that, you know, dropped its first game to come back, go on the road at Buffalo and get a quality win, what more can you ask for?
Not much, because, I mean, we talked about, I think both of us kind of agree, we would not fall out of our chairs if we saw in Buffalo last night what we saw in Baltimore 3 weeks ago. And we didn't see anything close to it, but it still was something of a dominant win. Although the score was kind of close, things kept the Bills within the game. But when you watch those two teams last night, there's no question who the better team was. I mean, the Chiefs were clearly the superior team. So in some ways, that's even more impressive that what happened in Baltimore didn't happen last night, but they still outgained them by more than 200 yards. And the Bills, once they got to a two-score game, never had the ball with a chance to take the lead or tie it.
I do think they did have the ball late. What the field goal at the end made it 9, right? Mm-hmm. So they did have the ball. Well, I guess not. No, they scored, and then so the Chiefs then answered, right? That's how that
yep.
finished.
Once it got to 20-10, they never had it again with the chance to tie.
Never had it. So the Chiefs did have to convert a third down to Byron Pringle for a big play. But, like, they had to convert a third. Well, yeah, that's what they do, convert third downs. They're the best in the NFL at converting third downs. It's how they play, you know. So I got no negatives here. I mean, they went out and just absolutely took it to the opposition. They continue to play. L'Jarius Sneed is out. They haven't had everybody ready to go yet this year. No Sammy Watkins. They lose Mitchell Schwartz early in the game. Juggle the offensive line around, and then they go out and just dominate the Buffalo Bills. Listen, a Bills defense that isn't the old Bills, you know, a couple of years ago where they were all defense. They've invested most of their resources on the offensive side of the ball, and they reflect that. So they didn't just, you know, run over the the steel curtain or something here, but they played the way they had to, and they crushed. I mean, like, if you're going to put, you know, six guys in the box and you're the Buffalo Bills, then the Chiefs should be able to run on them, and they did. We saw them, you know, the Raiders play light in the box, and the Chiefs weren't able to go run up and down the field on them. So I think this is a big win, and I think it's one that we said, look, going into the Raider game, we were talking about if they get through the Bills at undefeated, then we can start talking about an undefeated season, right? That was our opinion two games ago. So is our opinion now that we should be talking about a 15-1 season? Probably
that's
not.
That's a fantastic
probably
question.
Not, but it would.
My thought is no, but yeah.
I mean, that's where it probably ought to be, though, right?
Yeah, but I think the Raider loss and the way they were able to be beaten in that regard makes me think that maybe there'll be one more game like that somewhere down the stretch, or two. But yeah, I think if 14-2 is still in the ballpark, and certainly 13-3 almost now seems again like a low water mark for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, I have no problem with this victory. None.
And you mentioned the line. I mean, they make a move at center with Kilgorian for Reader. And then they lose Mitchell Schwartz, and they got to move Remmers out to right tackle, and they stick in Nick Allegretti, and they just roll. I mean, it wasn't just like they were – wide open holes were just there. You watch the play after play after play. They were shoving the Bills' defensive line 3 or 4 yards deep. It was very impressive.
It looked like a group that had been listening all week to how they're the problem.
Yes. Both sides, both lines, I think, but in particular the offensive line.
And I think that was fair criticism, right? Like, well, what do you got to say about the offensive line now? They still sucked against the Raiders.
They sucked last week.
Right? They were fantastic against the Buffalo Bills. And I think that's the most encouraging part for me because, you know, we've said it. There isn't a draft coming up here at midseason where you can grab a first-round guard, you know, and plug him in and go. Like, you know, Stefan Wisniewski was a great revelation last year. So maybe they can pull a rabbit out of their hat again on the waiver wire. But, you know, to get Wisniewski and Mike Pinnell off the street last year and have both of them be starters in the Super Bowl. I mean, that's just unheard of. You don't just count on that, right? That's just not the plan. Mm-hmm. But to know that they've got guys in-house that can step in, how good was Nick Allegretti?
Fantastic.
I mean, you're kind of like, well.
For a guy who prior to that's been mostly known, when he's heard his name called, it's been during the Spiracare injury report on the pregame show as being inactive. Yeah. Nick Allegretti thrown into the fire last night. He was terrific.
I mean, he looked like who was it? I've already forgot the guy. Who was the defensive lineman they drafted 2 years ago? That would they from Tennessee oh, that yeah. they made an offensive lineman?
Khalil McKenzie.
Khalil McKenzie. You're like, okay, Allegretti's the new Khalil McKenzie.
Mm-hmm.
No, he can play.
We know we'll say his name once a week.
yeah. When we announce he's
90 minutes prior to kickoff.
Right? But the guy can play.
Yeah.
And to step in and make it happen, and, Remmers played significantly better. Maybe tackle's just his better spot. But, nothing to be upset about in this performance.
If there's a concern, it isn't really by how anyone played. It's the fact that Mitchell Schwartz tried and then had the fact that he had to leave the game. But that's last night was one of those nights, and if you have a back problem, it's going to be rough. It's cold, it's wet, it's slippery. I mean, I could certainly see a back problem that you thought was working itself out reemerging. I don't think that may be the case moving forward. At least you hope that's not the case. It's nice to know that they can play well in a pinch, but you definitely want him back so you don't have to.
And can we all agree that this has probably been a long time coming? That we've watched Mitchell Schwartz not be Mitchell Schwartz, and it's because he's been battling a bad. I've said it a number of times. Or he's hurt, and we don't know it. He's trying to play through something, and it definitely looks now that's what was going on.
Yep. They always say the future tells you what the past is all about, and so seeing what happened with him this past week does kind of make you look at the occasional struggles he's had this season in a different light.
Yeah, you just don't fall off a cliff.
No.
The way. And I don't want to say fell off a cliff because he was still, what do we say, 17th or 18th mm-hmm. graded tackle in football. But by his standards, where he just never, ever gets beat, it was night and day. You could tell. And now we know, in my opinion, that he's probably been battling the back for quite some time. And
was probably doing well to perform the way he did with the back problem.
Yeah. Listen, I thought it was a great performance. And this is what it's going to look like. The New England Patriots didn't beat everybody by 30.
No.
Right? They won Super Bowls by 3 points. It's about winning the game. And, there is nothing for anybody to worry about. Nothing for anybody to worry about. For that offense to go out and play what they needed to do. They did it in the Texan game, and now they've done it again in this game. They just have to commit to, look, this is what we've got to do, then this is what we're going to do. And I would be, we said it after the Texan game that when they ran the ball that doesn't this scare the hell out of defensive coordinators? Maybe it doesn't because Buffalo was within reach, and so maybe it just continues to solidify. I think it probably does solidify that this is going to be the game plan that they're going to see time and time again. But if they see it, they're going to win most of them.
Yeah, because that's what happened to Buffalo last night seems like best case scenario for the opponent. If the best case scenario is you might have the ball within striking distance late, that's not necessarily a winning format. To have a defense just say, we're going to take away your top weapon and still roll up 466 yards and 20-some first downs. Was it 25 first downs? Is 27 first downs is pretty damn impressive. By the way, this is the first time they've run for 200 yards in 4 years. You got to go back to Christmas Day 2016 against the Broncos. They ran for 238.
238?
It's the fourth time in the Reed era.
Fourth time, okay.
14, 15, and 16.
How you want to play, pick your poison. And let's hear a little bit of Sean McDermott because he really does validate this. And that's basically what he said. Give me 16, Jed. And he was asked a number of questions. And here's a couple different answers. We just put them together, right? Two separate answers from McDermott about his team's run defense.
Listen, this is an explosive offense we went against. So got to pick your poison a little bit. And I know the numbers statistically are good, when we look at our defense against our offense. But you got to pick your poison here in terms of how you want to go about attacking them. This is an explosive offense, right? Mainly through the air. So you got to pick your poison here. What you're trying to take away, and then on the other end, you're going to give a little bit, right? And so I'm not saying that we liked what we gave up in the run game. That said, towards the end of the game, we were in the game, as opposed to some people that are getting blown out because the ball is flying over their head in the pass game with Mahomes and Hill and 17 and whatnot and Kelsey. So you got to pick your spots against an explosive offense.
So who was he talking about? Baltimore?
Yeah. I think that's the most obvious one. I also like at the end, he was aware that he had said pick your poison a bunch, and he went pick your spot. He didn't want to have to say it a fourth time with the exact same terminology. And twice he used an explosive offense, used that same terminology. But yeah, that's the team you're looking at is Baltimore. He talked about seeing the ball fly over your head. The one team that's happened to this year has been the Ravens, and everyone saw that game because it was on national TV.
And you look at the receivers, right, the way things got divvied up yardage-wise, right? Like, so targets, he focused in on DeMarcus Robinson and Travis Kelce. They got the top two targets, 7 for Kelce, 6 for DeMarcus Robinson. But yardage-wise, 69 yards from Robinson, 65 yards from Kelce, 46 from Pringle, 20 from Hill, 15 from Williams. He threw the ball to 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 different receivers, and 5 of them got multiple targets. I mean, like, yeah, pick your poison, and I don't think that, like, the way to beat this team is still to score.
Yeah.
Because the efficiency of the Chiefs was off the charts, right, as far as number of possessions to points. Like, is this right that I hear the zone said only 8 possessions for the Chiefs?
Wow, really?
That's what I thought they said.
Let's yeah. Well, not counting the kneel down at the end after the pick. Yeah. I mean, if you count that one, that's 9. But 8 actual possessions were they? Wow, that's amazing.
8 possessions.
That is amazing.
8 possessions that ended punt, touchdown, touchdown, fumble, punt, touchdown, field goal, field goal. Wow. So, of the 8 possessions that were played with anger, let's say, they scored on 5 of them, and 1 of them they fumbled.
And his biggest weapon taken away from him, Patrick Mahomes, just threw for 225 yards on 26 attempts, 2 touchdowns, no picks for a tidy 128.4. With a defense that was designed explicitly to stop him from making big plays. 21 of 26, 225, 2-0.
Yeah, against the hotshot quarterback, and I know he'd been grounded a little bit the week before, but against a hotshot quarterback who has the ability to run, did do some damage. What did he average? About a little over 5 yards a carry. He carries for 40-some-odd yards. He did some damage there, but, you know, they were able to handle him. They've handled Lamar Jackson. They've handled Josh Allen. They would have handled Cam Newton, we can presume. Cam Newton didn't play. But, like, they don't seem to be, I think, defensively, you know, the yardage that they gave up is no joke, right? They held the team under 20, which is, to me, great in this modern passing NFL. And they held the Buffalo Bills to 206 yards of total offense.
Yeah, and there are 5 penalties on the defensive backfield. 3 of them were automatic first downs. When you have that many flags in the secondary, you expect bigger plays or a bigger number on the offense for the other team, and 17 was all they had, and they really only had 10 till the very end when they started getting hot. So like Chiefs may have, I won't say ease off the throttle, but the Bills were kind of running that offense pretty quickly, and they got down for the last score. But for the most part, they really stifled the Bills' offensive attack despite having 5 penalties on their secondary.
I think, you know, I heard the statement made, you know, well, the Chiefs did need to kick the field goal to put it up by 2 scores. Yes, to put it up by 2 scores. They were a 3.5-point favorite. They were up 6 and 1 by 9. And by the way, they fumbled once, which, I mean, happens, right? It's part of the game. You got to be able to overcome it. And they did. And they missed, what, 1 extra point?
Yeah.
So, you know, far from
away 4 points there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, far from a perfect game, and yet they won by what should have been double digits.
Right.
I'll take it.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, keep lining them up. Like, how many more of these are they going to win? What does it look like for them, the Ravens, the Steelers, the Titans coming down the rest of the way? The Chiefs now have Broncos and Jets back-to-back. Now, they can't let down.
No.
Like, Denver clearly proved that they can, you know, drag you into a rock fight like they did with the Patriots and got a win there. By the way, sending a lot of people's suicide pool season to the grave by winning that, by getting that upset. That was a big one. Most people were on the Dolphins, but second most they were on the Patriots in that one. So that ended a lot of people's run for the money right there. So they can get you into that kind of rock fight, but you know, what are the numbers going to look like after the Chiefs play the Broncos and Jets? Right? Like, whatever you think they are right now, how much better are they going to look after the next two games?
And I'm not sure where the person found this number, but someone tweeted at me and Curtis and said that the Chiefs right now are minus 21 against the Jets in week 8. I don't know how they would have a number for week 8, but.
Oh, I mean, there's your, like, do you even bother to use the Chiefs in a suicide pool if you can only use them once? Do you even waste them in that situation?
I'd be tempting. That by the way would be 4.5 points more than any game they've had since. I mean, the Pro Football Reference search goes back to 1978, and their biggest spread they've had has been 16.5 twice, and they've not covered either one of those games. One of those games was the home game against the Cardinals a couple years ago, where Patrick Mahomes finally passed Len Dawson, and the other one. It was 1992. They had the winless, I think a one win. Maybe Pats come in late in the year and won by 7. But they've not covered that big. They've never been anything close to 21 before. They're 9.5, I'm seeing, at Denver next week.
9.5 on the road.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Is like we look at it like, well, you know, it was almost one score. Do you know how much the Cincinnati Bengals would like to be up by almost just one score?
Or the Jets and their Adam Gase and his 31 double digit losses.
Yeah, there's nothing but positives as far as I'm concerned from this game. They said, hey, here it is, cold, wet weather. We're gonna drag you out for a street fight, and they knocked him out.
You heard it in we'll stress it again. Sean McDermott's comments. This is the head coach of a team that was 4-0, and at the end of the game, he thought. Having a chance,
4-1.
I guess, yeah, that's right. They were at 1.4-0, then they were 4-1 coming into this game. He thought, like, the fact that they were in the game late was, at some point, a vindication of the plan they had on defense. That was like best case. Hey, we were close. We were getting smoked. That's not a 1-5 team. That's a good team that thought their best chance was to just get bludgeoned in the run game and maybe hope you're late. You're close late. That's how good this team is.
Yeah, I remember talking about it with Danny going into the Super Bowl, right? And he's like, you're going to have to put at least 27 points up to beat the Chiefs. And that was his magic number. Rule of thumb, I'd say you're going to have to get to 30. If you want to beat the Chiefs, you're going to have to get to 30 because this was a game where they were limited in possessions and they still got to 26. So it's a great it's a good game plan on defense, and teams are going to keep doing it, but you're going to have to score as well. And that's the difference, is the Chiefs have a defense now. They have a defense, and they can win on that side of the ball. And they are a complete football team, and I think you're going to see a lot of people – like basically you're talking about a head coach. Your point's a great one, Curtis. You're talking about a head coach who's coaching a 4-1 team, and he's coming in there saying, like, look, our only chance is to just hang around and then try to get it done at the end.
What do you want me to do?
Yeah. 913-3-810-810. We'll open up the phone lines. 913-3-810-810. Almost a double-digit favorite at Denver next week. Chiefs get back on the winning track, and it looked very, very easy last night as far as I'm concerned. 913-3-810-810. We'll take your phone calls. You're in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
What's with your sour look?
This is my face.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, welcome back here in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you as we make our way through a busy victory Tuesday right? That's what everybody wants. We're going to talk about this Chiefs win a lot today, and the Chiefs moving forward. Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus going to be with us next hour. Nate Taylor from The Athletic going to join us. Seth Kaiser, also from The Athletic, happened to do some juggling this week. We'll talk to Seth today rather than on his normal day of Wednesday. So we're going to break this Chiefs game down. We'll do it with you right now, 913-3810-810, the phone number, 913-3810-810. To me, my biggest takeaway from this is that the offensive line looked a lot better. And granted, this isn't the best defensive front in the NFL, but I don't care. That's the front they had in front of them, and they clearly imposed their will on the Buffalo Bills when it came to running the football. And that to me was the biggest concern that I had, right? Coming out of the Raider game was that, you know, are they going to be able to, you know, protect Patrick Mahomes? And we didn't see him running for his life in this game. And they obviously dominated when it came to the run game. I mean, aren't you at least a little bit going, why didn't they try Allegretti earlier?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, he surely showed well. And the idea that the Bills were going to give them commit completely to the pass, that is, they still ran for 246 yards. So that's still an accomplishment. So I want to see more than one game from him to before I would make that judgment, but he certainly looks like a guy who shouldn't have been inactive all the time. Maybe he wasn't a starter, but yeah, I think he played well enough last night to make you wonder why he didn't even see the field a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's there now, right? Yep. They won a Super Bowl, so everything they did is, you know, was good enough.
Didn't hurt him
last year, but they needed him, and he stepped in, and Kilgore as well at center. And is anybody talking about Patrick Mahomes drifting too far?
Nope.
In the pocket today?
Not today.
No. I mean, and it's because, to me, he didn't have guys, you know, jailbreak going on in front of him.
Yeah, and the middle three were really good, really good.
Yeah. 913-3810-810. All right, we open up the phone lines. 913-3810-810. Let's go to Scott. You're in the program. Scott, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Saran. Thanks for taking my call. And I want to preface this by saying how much I love Andy Reid. And, you know, I absolutely, you know, he's been a godsend for this organization, obviously bringing us a championship and all that kind of stuff. And obviously, you know, having Patrick Mahomes helps. But, you know, I have one slight gripe with Andy, and you know, he's an NFL coach, so I'm sure he's not going to get them all right. But I feel like sometimes he just gets a little too cute, and I understand that sometimes the cuteness, you know, we end up with the hungry pig right and the smoked sausage and those kind of plays. But you know, calling screen passes to your third string tight end when, you know, you're in a one-possession game, and the third and one call where you're pitching to the short side of the field with your slowest running back. You know, when you have Alex Smith, maybe I understand that, but you have the $500 million guy at quarterback, man. Just sometimes just let him go make plays. He's not only the blessed with the arm talent and the, you know, the wherewithal in the pocket and everything, but just his field awareness is incredible. He hardly ever makes a mistake, and I feel like some of those, you know, where he's taking the ball out of his hands a little too much, you know, in some crucial downs. And I would just love, again, I love Andy Reid, and he's, you know,
right,
an A coach, but to be an A-plus coach with Patrick Mahomes, just get out of the way and let the dude make the plays. And I don't know. You know, I guess after a 5-1 season and coming off a Super Bowl and, you know, a win last night, maybe I'm nitpicking. But I would just love to get your thoughts on some of that. So appreciate the show, guys. Take care.
I appreciate the call. And are you nitpicking? Hell yes you are, Scott. But that's all we're left to do, right? I echo every single word that came out of your mouth. Every single one. I think much as this team's own worst enemy, right, their biggest opponent is probably themselves. I think the Raiders brought an intensity. I mean, they took a victory lap around Arrowhead afterwards. That's how big that game was, right, to them. They brought everything. The Chiefs brought very little in a total trap situation, coming off the Pats, looking ahead to the Bills, and they still lost by 8. right? So this is what we're left to do. The only thing that really should beat them is themselves. If they don't beat themselves, they should win every game. And I, look, and I'm and I echo every word you said in exactly the same tone with which you said it, including the part about I love Andy Reid. I do. I think he's fantastic. I think he's a tremendous play caller. I don't want anybody else to be the coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. And when you have won 14 of your last 15 games with a world championship in the middle, all we are left to do is nitpick. That's all there is. Feel free. I mean, don't just do it for effect. But if you're really pissed about something about this football team, I would love to hear it. Right? So I know what you're saying, Scott. You're almost like you're apologetic because you're not, you know, you feel like, well, we should all just sit and you know, sing kumbaya and bask in the glow of victory, right? But this is what we've always wanted as football fans. We've always wanted a great quarterback leading the best team in the NFL, a dominant team. It's almost like, you, dare I say it, it's kind of boring. In a way, right? Like, what do we have to bitch about?
My Ferrari gets bad gas mileage.
Yeah,
I mean, that's essentially
exactly
what it is.
I have to put the top up on the convertible Ferrari when it rains. You know, I mean, I have to reach down and press this button. It doesn't figure it out on its own.
Or what you said, you know, to me, I mean, what you said to me during the break. Ahead. How are there no callers? And my response: it's hard to complain when you're the best team in the NFL, man. What do you bitch about?
Team's in too good a shape.
I mean, listen, and you're right. I mean, and I know people have been grabbing the lines now, but I mean, it kind of like there are some days we sit and we talk and we talk and we talk and we put as many hours into figuring out what the hell we're going to do on the show as we actually do the show. After a Chiefs game, those are not those days. But like when we got together, like what did we say? Like what do you think? Well, they juggled the offensive line. They ran it well. I mean,
there was.
It's not boring during the game, right?
Right.
I love winning, right? It's like better than losing, to quote Nuke LaLoosh.
Mm-hmm.
And the games are fun, but I mean like the aftermath is like yeah. I mean what did they do? Well, what they always do. You know, they had a good defensive scheme. They had a lot of creative plays. Some of them, Andy Reid got a little too fancy on. Patrick Mahomes, did a spinorama, at the sidelines and then run up for a first down. You know, at some point during the game, Mahomes is going to do something that you really probably have never seen before. A no-look pass in the midst of the game. They're going to overcome some injuries. And then they're going to win. And usually by a significant margin. 9 points is no joke in the NFL. And it's, like for like moments like this, like where do we want to be critical?
Yeah.
Protect the ball, Kelsey. Don't fumble, right? Okay. So let's figure out the extra point. I mean, that is a little bit nerve wracking because I know it seems to always be on an extra point, but it's going to be a field goal and it may be a field goal. It may be the Charger game and they don't even get it tied. Right, or they certainly don't win it like that at some point. I guess there is something to say, okay, they've got to get Bucker back on track. I heard the conversation, well, what do you do? It's a Super Bowl team, right? It's not like, hey, we're shooting for 22 or 23 and Bucker's this pile of talent and we've just got to stay with him and keep molding him into a finished product. You need a finished product, but you're not going to cut him.
No.
He's the most talented kicker in the league. He's got the biggest leg, and he's been very accurate until recently. And for whatever reason, he misfires on extra points.
Yeah, you're not going to sign Justin Tucker in the middle of the year.
Yeah, exactly.
He has a job.
Yeah. I did think on this one there seemed to be a little bit of frustration with the hold. We'll see if that ends up being something. Again, he's got a new holder, we'll see if that's part of the equation. I'm not – The ball, it looked fine.
Dave Tobe told you about a couple of weeks ago that the holds have been fine, but that's maybe a question worth revisiting.
Yeah. I mean, until he starts, okay, so what's wrong?
Yeah.
And we'd heard, well, he's missing them all to the left. Well, he missed this one to the right. So do we have real problems? I guess, is there a problem at kicker? Is probably the biggest you know, gripe you can have right now.
You know, just real quick, before we get back, you talk about the boring. I remember in 95 when the Chiefs had that, jumped out to that 10-1 start and they was winning all those games, they beat the Redskins here like 24-3, and it was just like, whatever. The next day, the Kansas City Star's headline was, same old, same old. That's a little bit how you feel watching the Chiefs sometimes. It's like, same old, same old. Whatever, yeah. It's what they do.
Yeah, I mean, this is what it felt like to be a Pats fan for a long time.
Yeah.
913-3810-810. Let's go to JT. You're in the program, JT. What's going on?
Hey, guys, I had one simple question. It's not really a criticism, and that is, with the offensive line, do you think that the reason that we didn't see these other guys in there playing, the guys we saw this week, is because you have an older coach who is tied to veterans and kind of get his veterans to work through injuries and put him in anyway because he just doesn't want to risk anything, and he didn't want, and he was kind of forced to finally this week?
You know, that's interesting, JT. Thank you for the call. I don't think so. I do think there's maybe some deference to the veteran. Like, you want to try to let the veteran play through it. Because once you turn away from a veteran, like, it's going to be tough to go back to him. I do think Mitchell Schwartz has been hurt, and maybe Schwartz going down just allowed them to get the best combination of guys out there. But I think Andy Reid is going to do whatever it takes to win. I don't think he's going to play a guy that's, you know, that he thinks is worse for you know, favorites or any other reason. I think he's going to do whatever it takes to win. Ken, you're in the program. What's going on, Ken?
Well, I wanted to bring up one of the things that I think's one of the great things about this offense, and there was a perfect example of it last night, is when the play is going for a while and the guys know not to give up and keep going, the play to Pringle was such a perfect example of that, and we see it so often. I just think that's great.
Well, I do think, yeah, and I appreciate the call, Ken. When you have a quarterback that can make things happen with his feet, you have to, you know, stay alert. And what do they say? What's the term he uses? Stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to be out there, and you've got to make yourself available. And guys do that. They know Patrick Mahomes will make plays. I agree. I mean, and I think it's when you have, you know, I don't know if it's the biggest play, right? The biggest play would have come early in the game with the Chiefs grabbing the lead somewhere in that midst. Probably the, you know, 12-yard touchdown to Kelsey to go up 13-10. That's probably the biggest play of the game if you went back from an analytics standpoint and said, okay, what singular play, you know, moved the needle the most? But the fact that, you know, you've got a guy that's going to find Byron Pringle on what is the play that's going to ice the game, that he literally will throw it to anybody, yeah, you better have your head around and you better be looking for the ball because it might be coming to you. 913-3810-810. Chiefs win 26-17. We'll take your phone calls when we come back. 913-3810-810. Eric Eager coming up next hour. You're in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
All right, man, you're the best. Thank you.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB, the home of the National Football League. Next game will be the Thursday night game. I thought we had a pretty good run of Thursday night games. What do we got here? Let's see. Giants at Eagles. It's over. The run is over.
Yeah, boy.
It's officially over. Although the Eagles will scare some people, you know, like they did the Ravens.
Eagles a 4-point fave. So it's Vegas thinks it'll be reasonably close.
That's probably a little bit of 1-800 bets off if you're on that game. But I suppose you could find a side there. 913-3810-810. Let's go to Jeff. You're in the program, Jeff. What's going on, buddy?
Yeah, so it's just been driving me crazy hearing the national media when they say, hey, how you beat the Chiefs is you drop 8 back and frustrate Mahomes when after that game he had put up 32 points. So I'm not sure that really stopped them all too much. And then last night you saw what happens once they really get the running game going. And then the other thing is playing hide the ball, and that limits how many points the Chiefs can score. Well, here's a little stat. when opponents do not score 31 points against Mahomes, they are 2-30. When they score 31 points, they are 7-3. So I think the only way the Chiefs are going to get their points, you have to put up the points against them.
Agreed.
You can't play hide the ball.
I agree, and I think along the way, I mean, I think you can play and take the deep ball away from him. I don't think that's a bad strategy, but you're right. Like, it's moot if you're not going to score. The Patriots had some success on defense. They couldn't score. The Bills had some success on defense. They couldn't score. How did they lose to the Raiders? They got to 40. I'm with you. And Jeff, and thank you for the call. I do think it's oversimplified. People, and I think it's the criticism you get when, you know, like, teams get credit for just giving it a good go against the Chiefs, right? Like, right. If you beat them like the Raiders did, everybody looks at you totally differently. But just giving it a good go is considered success. That speaks to how strong everybody thinks the Chiefs are. 913-83-810-810. Let's go to Phil. You're in the program, Phil. What's going on?
So two things, since you want nitpicking. One, Bucker's got to be better. I mean, he's good on his field goals. I don't know what's going on with the extra points, whether it's the holder or if he's got the yips. Something has to happen there. Number two, and then I'm happy to listen off air, third and an inch and quarterback sneak. Like, come on. What are you afraid of?
You're that afraid of dislocating your quarterback's knee.
It was a fluke.
I'm with you. Listen, you're preaching to the choir. I've watched. Now I think the taller quarterbacks, and Mahomes isn't one of the taller quarterbacks. He's a little bit undersized as far as height goes for the quarterback position. But for the sneak, a taller guy that can just reach the ball out there and, you know, kind of dive up on top of the pile, is probably a little bit safer than Mahomes, who's going to, you know, kind of burrow in behind. But you're preaching to the choir, man. I think the quarterback sneak has to be there. And I think there are times that, like, you know, the center is not covered. And it should be a no-brainer. It should just be a tap. You don't even have to call it. You just walk up there, and if the center's not covered, then you're going right there. You've got it easy. You don't have to sell me on that one. It was a fluke play. I think it needs to be there. If you want to say, okay, we'll bring it out when we get to the playoffs, okay, I guess, as long as you keep winning. But I don't see where it I would be stunned if he ever got hurt again on a quarterback sneak. He's had the one fluke injury. Ted, you're in the program. What's going on, Ted?
Hey, Saran, I've waited all my life to nitpick the team that is the championship team that I root for. So I am going to nitpick. First of all, I want to say I thought it was really encouraging the way DeMarcus Robinson played and the amount of snaps he was in and his blocking rating by Pro Football Focus. That's really good going looking forward if Sammy Watkins isn't playing or Sammy Watkins is gone. And the thing I wanted to – I don't know if it's a nitpick, but, you know, I know the majority of NFL games are one possession or one-score games, but your odds of getting beat in those games always goes up.
No doubt. Listen, go ahead, quick, Ted.
Yeah, do you think that they will take more play-action shots in the way people are defending them in certain circumstances to try to create more scoring opportunities since their possessions are going to be limited?
I think they will, and I appreciate the call, buddy, and it's always good to hear from you. Yes, I mean, at some point teams are going to have to come up and stop the run. I think they need to convert more touchdowns, and teams will have to come out of that. They'll have to start blitzing, right? Like, if they can get up by 14, teams have got to change what they're doing, and I think then they'll get more shots.
The Hour Question, brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
All right, before the Bills, what was the last team to allow 240 rushing yards to the Chiefs? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.